Yeah.
4th of July celebration.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of the musicians who were playing around that time?
Well, I do remember faintly, but my memory's no good anymore. I seem like Sam Hacker was one of them. Mm-hmm. And I've heard the names of them, and I've seen them in the, what is our big magazine that we got from?
The Golden Seal magazine?
Golden Seal, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've read those articles, and I remember some of those people.
Mm-hmm. Did you know, let's see, who would have been playing then? I've heard a lot of stories about Sam Hacker. And there's actually a tape of his music in existence. I think I have a copy of it. Sam Hacker lives on Little Otter, I think.
That sounds likely.
Or maybe he moved around a lot. I guess I've been told that.
I don't know.
And then there was a fella out in the country from Gasaway by the name of Bailey I've heard about. Does that ring a bell at all?
No, it doesn't.
Scott Bailey or Emery Bailey? It was some of the Carpenter family, I know.
Yeah, the Carpenters was the name I heard.
You've heard some of them play? Mm-hmm. Shelp, there was a Shelp Carpenter and an Ernie Carpenter.
I've heard those names, and I think I've heard them play.
Uh-huh. Now, did you ever play for dances?
No, I never did. We just played for parties and played for meetings that would be held at schoolhouses or churches or...
Uh-huh.
Or just party at houses. Mm-hmm. Nobody knew, or we never knew who was the musicians. People just liked to hear us.
Mm-hmm. And you would play with your brothers most of the time?
Yes.
And be playing a fiddle and a guitar?
Fiddle and a guitar and a banjo, usually.
Yeah, a banjo too? Uh-huh.
Sometimes two violins. But two violins didn't go very good. Two guitars went better than that. And a violin was harder to learn to play than a guitar. Anybody could pick out a tune on a guitar. Mm-hmm. But I always thought that, I still marvel at it. When I see an orchestra play, when they stick a violin up under their chin and make that thing do like it'll do, I'm telling you, that's skill. I admire a fellow that can do that.
Mm-hmm. Were there ever any musicians that come through the country performing shows or things like that?
There are.
Way back?
Once in a great while, you would hear of that, but people didn't see we're show crazy now. You've got to have a show every time, and there got to be someone from somewhere that's got a big name there, or maybe it's... Mm-hmm. And I wasn't very familiar with those kind of people. We had lots of peddlers come along, railroad track, and carrying stuff, peddling, and, you know, things like that. But...
Would they come and... come to your house and show you their wares, or?
Yes, they would. I'd carry a load that you'd think no one would carry around to get to sale. And it was like, that's a thing there. And trinkets and combs and all kind of things.
Uh-huh.
And a little embroidery of work or something.
Would they stay the night ever too?
Oh, yeah, they was always happy to stay. We've camped lots of them. But people were more hospitable then.
Mm-hmm.
You see, in other words, if you were out walking and trying to get from one place to another, generally people were friendly to you. Mm-hmm. But when they rode you to death with, apparently it looked like it, people that were hoboing would hobo and tell other hobo in the world, and they'd head in and try to bum you. But,
that got pretty bad, I guess, during the Depression days.
Yes, it did. I'm telling you. We've had people that came and went up in our barn loft where there were two or three stacks of hay piled. And they'd have some old frozen apples that they'd picked up in the coat pile. And they'd eat them old apples that was frozen, and just to keep them dying. I'm telling you, that was rough. Mm. I don't want to see the hard times like came back there anymore, but I do just feel like that we haven't met our obligations as society. We ought to grow up people that it wasn't anybody I knew that was going to starve to death. They didn't do it. Of course, people knew how to make a living where there wasn't any chance to make a living. But that's not the case now. You got an awful lot of people that just either have lost the knack or the will or something.
Skill, maybe. Knowing how to do a lot of those things? To get
by. Yeah, it is, isn't it? Yeah. In their pioneering days, you had to have certain native ability to make the things that you had to have, or you just couldn't have them. And then you couldn't go and buy all the things that you wanted, and as income was low, and you couldn't get the money to go shopping and buy everything. You just couldn't buy everything. You had to do without it. And some people learned to do it, and some people didn't learn to do it. And some of them didn't learn, just dropped off into the dependent ones, and some of them allowed to defeat them, and some of them didn't.
Did you all, your mother, did she ever do anything with, or anybody in your family ever do anything with weaving or making cloth? That kind
she
of thing?
Had done some, she did crocheting. She'd crochet whole garments, and she'd crochet tablecloths and things like that. But the mother never had a loom.
Did you keep sheep?
No, we didn't. But we had people within the community, although pretty well out to walk a distance, that would make brooms. Huh. And we'd carry broom corn over, and then they would make a broom.
You would raise the broom corn and take it to them?
Yeah.
Made into brooms?
That's right. We had one fellow that had been educated to do that. He was blind. And maybe I'd go every 3 or 4 years to have him make brooms. And when he'd hear my voice, he'd call me my first name.
That's something, how blind people develop their hearing to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But remembering all of the days, all of the good things and all the bad things, It was a hard life. Mm-hmm. And then there was no opportunity. I couldn't plan my life. It was beyond me. I didn't have the resources, and we grew up so daggone in such grinding poverty that and most of the rest of us, a lot of brilliant people grew up with no chance for education at all.
Thinking back on all those times, though, do you have remembrances of happy times and good times as a family or whatever? I mean, I know you think of all the poverty and everything on the one side, but do you also think about happy memories from your childhood?
Yeah. Sure. Yes, indeed. Families were closer, and families were made use of because everybody was sensitive about his neighbors. Mm-hmm. And you never butchered a hog or a beef unless you sent over everybody around you a mess of meat. And you thought on a community scale, if there was anybody that was sick or anybody that couldn't grow a crop, why, you just went together and grew it for them. Those things, they were good things, and it was great. And then the other thing, that you didn't know how rich a lot of people was, because everybody was poor together.
Kind of looking down on anybody because of, everybody was counted as equal. Did you have times when you'd go gather together at different people's places for workings, for
bean streams? There was a lot of this thing of helping Aunt Joe and Uncle Jim put up hay and all kind of cooperative things done. Mm-hmm. And everybody enjoyed that. They knew how to enjoy that. Mm-hmm. And they got it done, and families got along.
So there was putting up hay, and what other kinds of things would people get together to do?
Well, like picking apples, or when the time digging potatoes, or thrashing, like the thrashing machine. That was a regular community affair.
Mm-hmm. Did you make molasses?
Yes, always. Uh-huh. Always.
And that was a community kind of thing?
Yes, it was. And it was just a regular party.
Uh-huh. Now, did you ever include music in those?
Yes, we did. Yeah. Anybody that had a musical instrument, they'd take them with them for any kind of assemblage that took place. Mm-hmm. And if there was a picnic on the ground, and then they have a lot of good singing too. Mm-hmm.
And who were some of your old neighbors down there along the river?
There's people named Frame and Tayo and Carr and there's just lots of old names that I could try to think a little bit and could recall.
Did you have bottom land along the river?
Yes, we did.
You had some
sizable bottoms. Uh-huh.
Is your old place still there or anything like that?
No, the people that owned a big band mill bought it there. Well, it was bought with that sale in view. And the whole farm was bought. And it was, right now, there would be a storage space of lumber that had 25 acres at least. And one of my nephews is the head sawyer there.
And that pretty much took all the old the old place.
Because it became an industrial property instead of a farming property.
Did you have any? Did you have any snakes that give you much trouble down there?
Very few. There's a few copperheads, but there's no rattlesnakes down there.
Uh-huh. I've been talking to some people lately about snakes and the things they think about snakes. I had a fellow tell me that, and I'd just like to ask you if you've ever heard anything like this, that a copperhead with a bunch of young ones will, when there's danger near or something, she'll open her mouth and they'll run in her mouth. Have you ever heard anything like that?
Well, I think that would be true, yes, I think. Yeah. But copperhead, the dangerous thing about them is you walk right over one of them and he's quiet. But if anyone ever tells you that you wouldn't know a rattlesnake the first time you heard one of them rattle, he's crazy than a June bug. Because it just electrifies you. Uh-huh. And you're getting out of there. I've seen some big rattlesnakes. But a copperhead, I've stood as closest from right there to right here to a copperhead, and he was nothing to tell you he's down there. And you look down there, Dick, and boy, you get out of there because he's right beside of you.
Did anybody in your family or in the neighborhood ever get bit?
No, none of our family ever got bit. We found lots of copperheads down in Putnam County. See, I've built roads all over West Virginia and Maryland and Virginia. Mm-hmm. And I found, and also in the mountains in West Virginia, in Pendleton County and Pocahontas County, up in the National Forest. And we've killed some big copperheads up there. And a copperhead is a danger. I mean, a rattlesnake is a dangerous thing. He's a fighter. He'll just come right after you as hard as he can come. And you have to be afraid of one. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what a blowing viper is?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen one?
Yeah.
What are they like?
They flatten out in their neck and neck and head. And they get vertically flat like this, right there on the neck, and then makes that blowing sound. And I don't know whether they're a poisonous snake like the other. The main poison snakes that I know about are the copperheads and rattlesnakes in this country. Mm-hmm. Water moccasin. But whether they're really poisonous, I don't know whether they are at all.
Did you ever hear tell of putting rattlesnake rattles on a fiddle?
Yeah. I don't know why people did that.
That fiddle you made, you told me that... You were telling me about where the wood came from for it.
Well, the... top of the violin washed in a flood in Elk River, lodged on the island near our house.
It was a log? A log?
That log, was? Yeah. Uh-huh. And I got a portion of that log and let it dry and went ahead and cut out the piece I wanted and let it season. And then we cut maple trees. Maple trees were a good portion of them were curly maple. Mm-hmm. And that was always a prized wood everywhere. Although we harvested a different way, you could go in any timbering job and find curly maple. And But they sawed it in lumber, but
right.
You could find it.
That log you used for the top, that was spruce?
Yeah.
So it probably washed down from way up the head of Elk River.
Yeah, I would think so. Spruce. No doubt of that.
Did your family ever, your ancestors, ever speak much about the Civil War? Did they have any?
My dad was pretty familiar with my grandfather, Cool, Christian Cool, wrote his own account of the Civil War. I have it here.
Really?
And I never knew. I have some of the most precious documents that our family has.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for instance, I have a letter that was written by my grandfather when Grover Cleveland was president. And I have two or three other letters that are real antiques. And my grandfather served in the Confederate Army, and he was a sergeant at that was I forget what the I don't know much about military and things, but he was a general. I was trying to think of that general's name now that he was that served. And after the Civil War, of course, all of the Confederates were discredited, broke, beat, and just down and out. And my grandfather wrote letters to his general. He migrated to California and grew sheep at one time for a while and finally grew fruit as a living. And I have written some articles on his life.
Now, this was your grandfather that went
that
to
my grandfather.
That went to California.
No,
that was
he
the
wrote letters to his general.
Oh, who had went to California?
And so I have the letters that the general wrote back to my grandfather, but I never got the letters that he wrote to him. And then I published thing on my grandfather, in which I said that if the right investigation was made someday, it might be possible. You could at least dream that grandfather's letter might still be stuck around somewhere. And that was, and he told him the most personal things about the privations and things that the Confederates went through with afterward,
uh-huh.
The war ended.
How long is that account that he wrote?
Two or three pages.
Uh-huh.
Let's see. I'm trying to think where my stuff is. I might find one of these letters. I don't want to hold you up, neither do I want to take too much of your time, but if I could look here and see if, I'm out. You can see the way I hesitatingly try to recount things, and that's hard for you. If I can find anything.
This is a whole file you have about.
Well, this one here is where relative to the Cool family history, historical documents given to me by David Cool. David Cool is one of my cousins who lived down in Mississippi, and he's a real genealogist. He's got a computer that just does everything. To read it rather than...
Sure.
I think it's Townsend Mills, Gilmer County, West Virginia. Take that company. R-O-V-E-M-O. No. Something 26, 18, and 85. We, the undersigned members of a private family, meet around our domestic hearthstone, and in obedience to our good President Grover Cleveland, in his proclamation of thanksgiving on the day of His Excellency, appointed as a day of national thanksgiving, and as the weather is very inclement, and attend such and there being no religious meeting near enough to attend such an one. Accordingly, after family worship, pass the following Thanksgiving resolution.
Pass the following Thanksgiving resolution.
Yes, sir. First, we resolve to humbly render to Almighty God our heartfelt thanks because we have our birth in a land of religious privileges and our chief magistrate is a God-fearing man who invokes his nation to give thanks to God. Second, thank God that our happy and proud family is at perfect peace with all the world. After having passed through the fearful, bloody conflict from 1861 to 1864, may these United States never know war anymore. Third, because after the fearful drought of last summer, which borders very near on we think, I don't know what, on some word must be missing there. I don't see any word to fill that. We thank the Lord for life and health and every blessing given, for food and raiment, though we've no wealth, and for a promise, for a promised heaven. We thank the Lord for abundant crop and every fruit and flower. This blessings like a river flow. To us each day an hour. We thank Him for our healthy climate and everybody and every lovely breeze. The sun that over our heads does shine and songsters in the trees. We thank Him for the springtime flowers, for summer ripening wheat, for autumn's cool refreshing showers and fire that glows with heat. We thank the Lord for water pure, no mineral poison knows, and medicines our sick to care, and sleep to make it, and sheep to make our clothes. We thank Him for the promise given, the Savior of mankind. All who would have a hand in a home in heaven something need be less be there's another word I can't get. Famine, we are again blessed with an abundant crop of every kind, and this we have once more, peace and plenty. Fourth, God fourth God accept our thoughts for this His preserving care, so that small peaks I can't read that in that yellow fever, smallpox, yellow fever, or leprosy have not been allowed to visit our humble cot, and that we that the angel of death has only once been allowed to enter our circle to break the ties of kindred love in the history of our family. Fifth, we thank God for our peace in the family and community and all the friendships and happiness we enjoy, believing as we do that God is the author of all good, and that the devil and his angels of all evil, suffering and bitterness, respectfully signed, Christian Cool, MZE Cool, Cornelia N. Cool, L. Addy Cool, Ross H. Rosa H. Cool. I've got some others.
So that's something they've just all got together and decided to write and say.
Yeah,
down.
But there's not very many people who've got these sticking around yet.
Have what?
Not many people have these old copies sticking around yet. It's
right.
In their handwriting.
Right.
Most of these are simply that.
Mm-hmm. I was going to ask you about the Cools now. I know people in Webster County named Cool who spell it C-O-O-L. Is that the same family, or is that a different?
No, they're not the same. The Cool family was divided during the Civil War, but it was between Cole and Cool.
They changed just the pronunciation or the spelling?
No, C-O-L-L-E, Cole.
C-O-L-L-E.
C-O-L-E, and the other, our way we spell ours is German, where it belongs, K-U-H-L.
And the people who spell it C-O-O-L are an entirely different family.
They may have been K-U-H-Ls one time, but our name is still family because we can trace our generations back to Germany.
Yeah, it sounds like the German spelling. Now, you say they divided the name during the Civil War?
Yeah, there was family into it.
And the K-U-H-L were Confederate, and the other spelling was Union, or is that the way it worked?
Family was Confederate, most of the family. But the Cools spread westward to Chicago and so on. And my great-grandfather was born toward Baltimore, where they came over on a ship, and some of the family was born over there. But I can't follow it anymore. I just can't. Somebody else is going to have to do it, and this young man that does it is about followed as far as he can go now. But he's got his computer full of it and the books on it and everything else.
Mm-hmm. Well, we probably tired you out enough for one day.
Well, I don't see where I can be very much good to anybody now when it comes to remembering.
You remembered a lot of interesting things.
And I didn't realize that I'd failed on my family to the extent that there wasn't anyone wanted to pick up and take a real interest in this and try to do what they could to save a lot of this personal history.
Well, I think I'll turn this off here.